Hello and welcome to a brand new Taking Care of Business Live in the RPPFM studio. I'm Jackie Mitchell. Good to have your company today as we endeavour to discover the keys to success from four of the best brains in the business world, all coming from a variety of backgrounds and experience. And today's Starfield Show is brought to you by our friends at eView Real Estate. My special co-host today is another Taking Care of Business regular and an expert at million-dollar relationships, Danielle Storey. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie. It's so lovely to be here again.
Oh, it's good always good to have you here, but what is even better, you've brought in bearing gifts.
I have fresh veggies from my veggie garden.
I know, it's good. So we've got Taking Care of Business cucumbers.
Yes.
And we've got Taking Care of Business rhubarb.
Yes.
So we're going to give those to our guests today as
Lovely. And of course, some Taking Care of Business chilies because you are hot stuff.
Oh, yeah. I like that's nice. Now, what have you been up to?
It's been a really good start to the year. I'm educating myself a lot this year. I've really focused on the fact that I want to know what's going on in the world in the future. My mantra at the moment is think 2030. So what are we going to be doing?
How come you picked 2030?
Well, because I kind of believe we're really nearly all the way there to 2020 already. It just doesn't seem like it's the year's flying. And then, of course, there's only three more years. So I kind of sounds good. I like it. And in 13 years, I've got a bit of a plan. So I've been listening to a lot of podcasts on our topic today, success.
Yeah, yeah.
Podcasts on something really cool called The Future of Work, which is an amazing concept for how people are working.
A great friend of ours, Warwick Merry, has some great podcasting on success, doesn't he?
He does. He's the dude when it comes to the word success and what people are learning and what they're doing. And another term that I'm spending a bit of time working with is growth hacker.
Did you make that up?
No. It comes out of a gentleman in the States, and it's a term that marketing is an awesome term, but growth hacker covers across sales, marketing, admin, product development. It kind of says, well, where are we right now, and what's the thing we need to grow right now? And so I'm having a bit of fun with that term.
Oh, okay, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now we have a wonderful guest, our first guest. Well, you're sort of our first guest, but you're my co-host today, so you're going to give me a hand.
Absolutely. And I'm really looking forward to hearing what success means.
A plethora of guests today. Yes. Yeah. Well, when I put this show together, I always like to get as many different angles as possible. So anyone listening now goes, oh, this is really boring, I'm going to turn it over. It's like Melbourne's weather. Just wait a minute because it'll change. So our next guest is going to change that. His name is Matt Nash. And Matt has had been very successful in his business and particularly in stone. So his success is in stone.
Ooh, set in stone.
Set in stone. And Matt runs a company called Prestige Services. He's a third generation of this business. Matt Nash, welcome to Taking Care of Business.
Thank you very much, Jackie. It's
good to have you here. Now, third generation. So it was passed on from...
I actually started this business myself. My grandfather had a cleaning company. My dad had a carpet cleaning company. And I started a stone cleaning company.
That's what the third generation is. What did you learn from them?
From a young age, I was always taught that business was the way to go. And especially when I was, I lacked academic grades and things like that. So it was just a really ideal sort of path for me to go down. Yeah.
Okay. Now, and stone, what attracted you to that?
I'd graduated from year 12, didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I went and did an event management degree. Whilst I was doing that, I was working for a friend of my dad's doing this type of work. And then I went on to do a marketing degree and never really wanted to get into this path. I always thought that I'd be sitting in front of a computer at a desk working for Coca-Cola. That was the dream job.
Of course, every marketing student wants to do that. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I realized into my degree that, you know, I looked around and I was always getting quite average grades. As much as I'd really liked what I did,
yeah,
I just wasn't academic enough to get good grades. And you know, that's what people look for. That's what companies look for in their graduates and you know, people that they put on. So I realised that, you know, the education system turned over a lot of marketing graduates each year, and the chances of me getting a job at Coke was very
minimal. So minimal, did you graduate from your degree?
Did
you
finish?
So how far did you get?
2 years.
Okay, which is still, you would have learnt a lot. And after that, those 2 years, yep. Did you then start the business?
So I didn't. I was actually as part of my course in marketing, I actually started another business, which was because I saw an opportunity to get into male grooming products, of all things. So I had this little sort of business on the side where I'd import these grooming products for men and sell them online. So I got experience of dealing with advertising in magazines and starting websites and online marketing and social media.
So you've always had that entrepreneurial drive.
Yeah.
And do you think that was from your parents and grandparents, do you think?
It's really hard to pinpoint exactly where that
what
came
influenced.
From. I think some people have it and some people don't. Right. Like I've got two sisters and a brother and they don't have it.
Fascinating.
I'm the oldest, I have it, so I don't know.
So Prestige Service Surfaces. Now let's just talk a little bit about that. We talk about Stone. So what actually is the business? How would you describe it in a sentence?
So it's really difficult to describe it to people. It's not actually. It's quite easy. So we clean and seal stone, but it's pretty rare and niche, and
it's natural stone.
Natural stone. So a lot of new projects these days incorporating natural stone into the designs and the projects. So a lot of our clients are actually other businesses like landscapers, builders, tilers, and they'll get us in at the end of their projects to clean up their work and put a protective coating on it to make sure that stone and concrete hold up and last and is easier to maintain.
Now, unless you've been, you've discovered a wonderful youth product when you're in your male grooming side of your business, you are quite young. Well, you look young. That's what I'm saying.
I think that's genetics.
Is it? I was going to ask you if you don't mind.
We should have gone into that family.
Yeah.
I'm not in the male skincare business anymore.
So no. I was prefacing that with trying to find out, without offending you, just how old you were when you started Prestige Surfaces.
So it was 2013 when we formed a company.
So how old were you then? You're in your 20s.
I'm 28 now.
Yeah, okay. All right, so there you go. So I was right. I was going to say, if you're going to say you're 48, I was going to, we need to know what this product is using. So, so you're in your mid-20s. That's young to start
mid-20s
a business.
Mid-20s sounds good, but I would have said late 20s, but I'll take mid-20s.
Yeah, but still young to start a business, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. And to have, obviously, you dipped your toe in the water and you'd learnt quite a bit with uni, because uni degrees can be quite broad in understanding how to promote yourself.
Absolutely.
And today's show is about success. Mm. So what are your secrets to success from your business experience to date?
Secrets to success. It's actually, I've thought about, and I actually, one of my friends said to me the other day, why don't you sell the business and get the money and just have fun. And I'm like, well, no, because...
a good friend, because he wants to have fun with your money.
and I'm like, well, no, because what would I do then?
Yeah.
I don't know if I could start another business and succeed at that, because I've tried probably starting 20 different businesses over my lifetime and this is the one that's worked for me. And whether that's, because I've picked up little bits and pieces from all those failures to get here, to make this business a success. I don't know whether that's what it is, whether I've got the formula to make anything a success.
So what advice would you give someone wanting to start their own business?
Just do it. Just get out and start,
just
I guess.
Get on with it.
Don't think too much about it. But it does take time. It's taken me, a few years to sort of get some momentum happening and... it's definitely rewarding.
I know, Matt, we were talking before about secrets to success and one of yours that you spoke about was run your business like a business. It's not a hobby.
Yeah.
And that really blew me away. So what does that mean? What does that mean to you?
Okay, so as I said before, a lot of my clients are other businesses and I really I get to see how other people run their business. And some people just, like, they're, you can tell they're not, they're in it because they love that. I mean, look, I love what I do, but I also run my business as a business, because if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be able to, you know, to pay people to work for me and to be in the position that I'm in now. So I think it's important to just, you know, really think of your business as an actual business, and even from
so that kind of means, like, you know, send your invoices out on
correct
time,
exactly,
collect
things
your money,
like that, and yeah, you know, not giving away free products and free services, and value your time. And if someone, you know, wants a little bit extra from you, you have to charge them for that, because it's a business.
Oh, Matt, couldn't you? That's good advice, isn't it? Can you stick around for the rest
absolutely
of the show?
Yeah,
fantastic. Listen, smarter, not harder. Today's show is all about the secrets to success, and I have here Danielle Story and Matt Nash, and we've just been joined by a business coach, and she specialises in startups. And again, another angle, I always like to look at this topic from so many different angles. Jess Jones, welcome to Taking Care of Business.
Thank you, Jackie.
Now, a startup business coach, tell us a little bit more about what you do.
So I really specialise in looking after women who are in the startup phase of their business.
Okay.
So when I say startup, it's sort of loosely the first 5 years, because that phase does last a little bit longer than the 1 to 3 that people like to peg on it.
Yeah.
And just trying to give them support and understanding of where they're at and where they need to be, and the paths they need to take to get to their own business success.
And how long have you been doing that for?
I've actually unofficially been doing it for years, yeah, with friends and family members, but I launched the Startup Business Coach last year.
Oh, okay. So it's fairly new. And how's it been for you?
Really good so far.
Yeah.
Yep. Through our, I've got the SOAR Collective community, and we've got many women in business there. So through them, we've been able to build a nice little group of clients and a community through that as well.
And do you find that it's just on the Mornington Peninsula, are your clients?
No, I've had a couple of people inquire that interstate as well. And I'm working with someone at the moment from Sydney. I've actually had an inquiry from America as well, which is
fantastic.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
See, with technology now, it makes really easy to do that.
Yeah.
Now, your background's in hospitality, and I found that really interesting in prep for today, to go from hospitality to coach.
Mm.
It's a big leap. What sort of got you to take that leap?
So, yes, my background's hospitality and retail, business management for many years. So I've done about 10 years of business management in a variety of businesses, and worked with brands like Sanity Music, Boost Juice, Laurent Patisserie, the Espy in St Kilda. So I've had quite a diverse background,
yeah,
and diverse group of customers as well. So I've been able to gain lots of knowledge around business management and managing teams and what works and what doesn't through managing those businesses.
Yeah.
And then sort of started my own entrepreneurial journey when I was about 22, 23.
So in the last, say, 18 months, you've been running your business, dealing with women that have starting their own business, say between 1 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Have there been any sort of common threads or common issues that you've come across?
Yes, I think for a lot of them, the biggest part is fear. Fear of the unknown, and you know, knowing that they can do it, knowing that they've got the support to do it as well, and that they've got the means to, you know, achieve many things that they want to achieve through their business as well.
So it's very emotionally driven.
A lot of it is, yeah. And just knowing that there are people out there that are doing the same thing. They don't have to do it, you know, on their own. It can be very isolating working from home. As, you know, a solopreneur or an entrepreneur, a home business owner, it can be very isolating. So,
Jess, yeah, one of my secrets to success is to seek advice.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to, you know, as a small business owner, to sort of approach more successful people than yourself, or a coach like yourself.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on giving advice to, you know, small business and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, great question. I'm actually writing an ebook at the moment about growing a strong personal network. I think you just can't do it on your own. So there's different ways of doing it. It's not always about spending money on a coach. You can approach a mentor,
yep,
someone that you can, you know, meet with. I've got my own mentor on the peninsula, And I meet with him every couple of months just to touch base, and he gives me some advice and support himself.
Yep.
You can create your own dream team through other people that are like-minded, that are running their own businesses like yourself.
Yep.
And I think the other thing is to really tap into your support network, your personal one. So if you've got some fantastic friends and family who are really supportive of what you do, they're fantastic to have on your team.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, Jess, I love that. I absolutely love that, your dream team. I'm a big fan of getting clarity in a lot of things. Do you recommend people actually seriously sit down and write down that list of people who are on their dream team, or do they kind of just come up with it on the fly?
No, absolutely write it down. I'm actually putting together a worksheet at the moment so that people can build their own dream team.
Oh, please put me on the list of people to buy that.
Absolutely.
It's interesting when you talk about coaching and mentoring, and I find in my experience that they often get confused to mean the same thing.
Mm.
So, Jess, in your view, what's your definition of the differences between a business coach and a mentor?
A mentor for me, well, my own personal experience, is someone that I can go to for advice. You know, the meeting part of things or the contact part really depends on the mentor and the mentee themselves. So my sort of unofficial commitment with my mentor is that we meet for a coffee every couple of months, and he's been fantastic. He's got a great podcast actually called the Small Business Big Marketing Podcast. I highly recommend it. Tim Reed.
Yeah, we know Tim Reed.
Yeah, he's fantastic. So for us, that's probably enough every couple of months. He's a busy guy, and you need to respect the time that the mentor or, you know, the person that you're going to support gives you as well. Coach, on the other hand, is someone that you would have more of a structured format with. So you can say 3 months, 6 months, 12-month commitment. That's what I do as well. So I offer a few different options. And then that way people have the flexibility to choose what works best for them.
Yeah. I know, Danielle, you've gone into this space and you actually do some mentoring.
Yeah,
as well.
I'm a mentor, not a coach. And I'm really clear on the difference between the two. Mm. And I actually recommend that a lot of the people that I work with go and get a coach when it, you know, when they've got to that point that they want something a little more structured. As part of the small business mentoring service, I've had the opportunity of being able to work once or twice with people, and occasionally three or four times. But it's simply more about, hey, this is where I've been, and this is what I know, and looking at what you know, I have a holistic view and I can see this. Whereas a coach can have more accountability, more structure, and I don't know whether it's more or less success. I just think it's different.
Yes,
and I'd agree. I owe much of my success to my coaches. I think they're amazing.
Mm, yeah, they certainly can help you look at things a bit differently, and they're objective. You know, like it's great to get the support from family and friends, but leave it at that. Leave it at support and encouragement, and get someone independent, as objective as possible, a fresh pair of ears and a fresh pair of eyes to help you on the right path. Because sometimes family and friends, in, you know, with the goodness of their heart, tell you stuff you want to hear, and sometimes you need to hear things you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
My mum always said, Matthew, go get a job. You know, and I always, you know, went my own way, and it ended up well for me. So, yeah.
Have you ever used a coach or mentor, Matt?
It's funny we're talking about this, because I was literally 2 weeks ago, I was contemplating it, because I'm at a stage where I've sort of rearranged the business to be quite profitable now, you know, I just wanted some outside advice, because it's, you got to be open-minded always. You can't just be closed-minded. So you've always got to, you know, listen to people and get good advice. But the problem is, it's like, who do you use? Who do you trust? So, you know, there's people out there that specialize in product businesses and hospitality, like Jess. So for me, no, who knows my business? And that's my concern. So
that's a really good question, Matt. And it's no different than choosing someone to look after your stone for you.
Yeah.
You know, who do you know? Well, I mean, you're in quite a niche, but what tradie do I find to do what I need to do? I would actually, your values of success that you've shown me and that we've talked about and we've talked about on here are the things that you would align with what I'm looking for in a coach. Go out and interview three or four of them. Yeah. I'm actually tipping, there's probably a few coaches listening here that might ring you now. But interview them based on your values of success.
Yeah.
People who are running their coaching business like a business, which is one of your measures of success. People who have a coach of their own. Mm-hmm. You can tell a lot about the coach by who coaches them. and interview them as though you would be interviewing a staff member or a team person.
So I actually did find someone that I am
I'm
pursuing, and it's in Sydney. So I'll be going to Sydney over the next 3 months to undergo a bit of a process, and partly because I'm looking at starting up my business in Sydney. So I thought, well, what a great time, you know, opportunity to go do some coaching, see the area, and make some
connections. Yeah.
We'll have to keep an eye on Matt, because I'd like to get you back in after that process.
Yeah.
And we might do a show specifically on coaching and mentoring, which we've done before, mm-hmm. but to follow up from that, from where you are now to post engaging a coach, to see what difference it's made.
I just wanted to add too, I think it's a fantastic time to be a business owner. There's so many opportunities out there, and not to put coaches out of business, but if people want to do a 12-month, you know, sort of full-time commitment, there's plenty of programs out there now, like the Entourage Business Blueprint. There's plenty out there to choose from now.
What do you know of the Entourage? Is it?
I know a lot about Jack DeLosa. I've been following his story for a long time, and I think he's quite an inspiring fella for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Then the Dale Beaumont of Business Blueprint, they're mm-hmm. doing some great things over there. Key Person of Influence.
Yeah,
yeah, they're all fantastic programs.
Okay. Mm. It's good to hear that, reassurance from someone else, because you see these people on social media and that's not enough. It's like with marketing, you know, like you've got to have a mix, and we do social media and a whole range of other things to, you know, to get a message across. So,
and I think the key to having a success in any program, whether it's 12 months with a coach, 6 months with a coach, or a program like Entourage, a lot of people forget that their success is determined on what they put in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What we're being taught are sound business principles. And if you just get too busy working in your business and you don't have time to implement it, no coach in the world is going to make it better for you. So you're a motivated guy. I would imagine anybody you engaged would help you get somewhere, because you've got a plan. You know where you want to be.
Yeah.
Jess Jones, if anyone listening wants to find out a bit more about you, where can they find you?
They can go to jessjones.com.au.
Wonderful. Thanks so much
for coming in
and good luck with. I don't think I need to wish you good luck. I think you're on a good path there.
Thank you.
It's good to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Look forward to seeing you there. We hope you are enjoying eavesdropping on our interesting conversation here on Taking Care of Business on RWL PFM. If you're thinking about becoming a billionaire and becoming successful, our next guest has the keys to success for those with an online retailer store. Amy McWaters, welcome to Taking Care of Business.
Thank you very much, Jackie.
Now, tell us a little bit about what it is you do.
So we have three websites, the Hamper Emporium, Gifts Australia, and Everything That Flowers, and we operate the websites out of Sydney, and we dispatch all of the product from our warehouse here in Sydney.
So those that are thinking about going online, or e-commerce as it's called, but I know some experts actually just call it commerce now because it just is part of commerce, and all are thinking about going online, what are some keys to success?
Well, I think, throughout my career, Jackie, I've had a very heavy customer service focus, and I think that in a competitive environment like commerce, it's really essentially anybody can compete on price, but really it's that customer service element and the genuine care shown for the customer, not only through maybe a phone or email interaction, but through how the information is displayed on a website, how the item is delivered, and then the post-sale service. It really adds up to helping you remain competitive in such an environment as online retail.
Yes, one of the issues for any online store, in my experience, has been getting people to the cart. So we know that they're on the online store, they find what they're looking for, they get to the cart to buy it, and that's where the biggest dropout goes, or they call it cart abandonment. What are some of the reasoning behind that unfinished purchase?
That's right, Jackie. It takes a certain amount of motivation for somebody to add an item to their cart. And so it's really up to us to analyse what it is about the cart, perhaps the gift messaging section and the checkout, that's going to influence that customer to convert and to actually come through with a purchase, which essentially, being a retailer, is what we want at the end of the day. So some of the key areas, if I start with the cart, You want to make sure that the cart is clear, it's easy to make changes, that there are very few links within the cart that are going to entice the customer away from the cart. So really the only thing that we want them to see in the visual hierarchy is to see that checkout button, so that's what they're clicking on next to actually get to the checkout page, rather than being distracted and taken elsewhere.
How important are the freight options and shipping costs?
Well, it's really important that the customer has options, but not too many options. If we're overwhelming them with a lot of different freight pricing and maybe time frames, it can become overwhelming, and that's also another reason why customers can drop out, because it's an overwhelming amount of options for them. And it's also important that the freight options are communicated in a way that the customer really understands, and we're setting clear expectations for them.
Yeah, that's really key. Now, those listening that have an online store or thinking about an online store, there's a conference coming up on the 16th and 17th of March, the Online Retailer Conference. It's actually in Melbourne at Jeff's Shed. You're involved with that?
Yes, I certainly am, and I'll be speaking on Wednesday afternoon at the conference, in particular about the purchase funnel and converting within the purchase funnel. So from when the customer places an item in the cart, and what we're doing to ensure or maximise the chance that they will then go through and complete the purchase.
That's really great. How does Australia compare worldwide?
That's a very good question. I know that when doing some research for this presentation, that conversion in the purchase funnel or cart abandonment in the purchase funnel for Australia is slightly lower than worldwide figures. I don't have the exact percentage, but Australia overall performs just slightly better than the worldwide average when it comes to cart abandonment, and we have perhaps more of an efficient purchase funnel in general.
Yeah, that's always good news, isn't it? And also those listening in Sydney, we've got quite a large audience in Sydney. There's something in Sydney a bit later in the year, isn't there?
There is, yes. In the middle of the year, there is the Online Retailer Conference being held here in Sydney as well.
Fantastic. Amy McWaters, we really appreciate your time, and that's the 16th and 17th of March at Jeff's Shed. If anyone listening wants more information, where do they go?
They should go to onlineretailer.com.au.
Wonderful. Amy, thanks again.
Thank you very much, Jackie.
Wonderful. That's really interesting information. It's good that Australia is not lagging behind, that we are. But I think we're very technologically aware, aren't we, Danielle?
I think we are, and I think this is a really good time for Australia to get heavily involved in technology. You know, about manufacturing, agriculture, there's been some mining, there's been some really big shifts over the last few years, and we're very primed as a country to be technology leaders. And of course the government, both all three levels of government, are talking innovation at the moment. The new visa is being released in November for the entrepreneur visa. So we're primed. It's a great place to be involved in technology, our country.
Matt, your generation's really embraced technology.
Do you know what?
What?
The other day I had a conversation with one of my clients who's about 40, 45. And when I started out, you know, that generation were, you know, just that was just a different world. Like it was... they would get customers a certain way. Most of it would be word of mouth or the Yellow Pages. The Yellow Pages is the only advertising medium out there.
Yeah.
Now we've got Facebook, social media, LinkedIn, Instagram. We've got Google AdWords. There's so much. Most of my advertising is in all of that.
Yeah.
And that contributes to a huge percentage of the work that we get. So now what I'm finding is all these guys that were used to advertising in the Yellow Pages, unless they had relationships already with contractors that would give them work, then all these younger generation businesses are now starting to take over because they know how to use the technology.
Yeah, there's a real transition of change there. And today's show, as I said earlier, is about success. So we've talked about online success, which I think is always important to have the online space in any business conversation, because it is, it's not e-commerce anymore. It is part of commerce. We've talked about coaching and mentoring. We've got Matt Nash here from Prestige Services. Surfaces.
It's very hard to spell out lots of S's
yeah. in there, which is challenging me. So Matt's talking about how he started his business. We have Danielle Story here, who's run that many businesses, and she's a mentor. She does everything. And I was looking at today's show going, we're missing, there's a gap in here. And there's a fantastic cause. I think you can call it a charity. And it is on the Mornington Peninsula, but I think it is around Australia. But we'll find out a bit more about it. And it fits in perfectly with today's theme. It's called Dress for Success, which was a good song by Roxette, which we're going to finish the show with today. And we have Maureen Robbins in the studio. Hi, Maureen.
Hello. Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity, actually.
Well, it's a wonderful call. So tell us a little bit about what Dress for Success does.
Okay. Well, we are basically about success, so I guess we fit in very well with today's program. And the way we do it is to try to empower needy, unemployed women and girls to pursue their own personal success. And we do that by a range of different things. Primarily, we have a boutique in Balmain, operate in the Bayside Shopping Centre in Frankston. And we liaise with just over 100 different referral agencies who refer clients to us to be dressed free of charge if they're going for an interview. So because we're staffed all by volunteers, usually on the days that we dress, which is on a Monday and Wednesday, we have 5 volunteers in the boutique, so they work one-on-one with the clients and dress them head to toe.
That's wonderful. And
that in itself, just to see that, apart from the physical clothes transformation, but to see heads sort of come up,
I was going to ask you about that. So you actually do see that transformation. I know that, people say, oh, it's material, but it's not. It can really make a difference.
No. I think that they're still not 100% every one of them confident.
But
they
lack
self-esteem.
Right.
But to have someone fuss over them and say, oh, you look fantastic in that. We take their photograph at the end so they have a record of it. And then we allow about an hour for this process. And then the volunteer who's working with them sits down and goes through a pretty basic interview technique. Because a lot of these women aren't confident in about talking about themselves. So that's just one aspect of what we do.
So the aim or the goal of that is to get them ready for an interview.
That's correct.
For them to get a job.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
I've always wondered, I've actually donated a lot of my business clothes. I'm not going to say old business clothes, but they're actually really good business clothes that I just don't fit into anymore.
I was going to ask that question. Yeah. So from your point of view, how can we help? I mean, do you take cash donations, or can I clean my wardrobe out, which is full of gorgeous business stuff, and bring it down?
We will take a range of donations from cash to clothes, any sorts of clothes. We actually sort the clothes, and the clothes that are appropriate for an interview go into the boutique, and the ones that we think aren't, on a Friday, because we're a not-for-profit organisation, we sell them $5 a piece between 10 and 2, and that goes to help pay our rent.
Yeah.
You know, and just our admin costs.
And Dress for Success, did it start in Frankston? Is that where it started? Or
No.
Where did it start?
We're an affiliate of Dress for Success International, which started in New York.
Yeah.
We are in about 17 countries. The first one to set up in Australia was in Brisbane, I believe. We have one in Sydney. We have the Mornington Peninsula one, which covers Mornington Peninsula, but we're far-reaching as people hear about us. There's one in Adelaide, and just towards the end of last year, we opened one in Perth.
And And do you look for volunteers?
Please, we will welcome volunteers.
Oh, what a marvellous organisation to
volunteer for. It's a great organisation. Yeah. I've been a quiet supporter. Well, as I said, I've actually donated quite a bit of clothes before, but I've never had you on the show and I've always wanted to. And so when today's success theme, I went, we got someone. So Maureen, really appreciate you coming in. For Success in Balmoral Walk in Frankston. We'll put a link to our Facebook page for those wanting to find out more.
Thank you.
Your success is our success is tagline. And I think that's a really nice way to lead us into our next break. So Maureen, thank you very much. You're listening to Taking Care of Business. We have Mr. Success here, Matt Nash.
That's the one.
Matt, did you want to donate some clothes for Dress for Success?
As I said, I just cleaned out my wardrobe, but I would have. The timing was terrible.
Well, I think it's women only. I'm here with Danielle Storer as my co-host. So Dress for Success is for women only.
Is there a men's association?
Well, apparently. I just had a quick chat with Maureen. There's one in South Melbourne called Wear for Success. So there you go, Matt.
Love
next time I'm going to write that down.
In South Melbourne. But it's such a wonderful cause and they do a lot with career development. So I'm going to get Maureen back to have a chat a bit more about their career development side of things.
I think it's fabulous. What a great organisation.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Matt, what gets you out of bed in the morning?
Okay. I really believe that you have to enjoy what you do and enjoy the journey and not focus on the end result as such, because I used to, always want to, as a young kid, you want to... have it all now, you want to get rich quick and all that. But I've learned through my experience that just doesn't happen, and it's a long, slow process that requires a lot of patience. So I would say to people that are in business to be patient and just enjoy the journey, and one day things will just come into place.
Interesting, isn't
it? It is, and I recall back to what you said in the start of the hour, Matt, where you said one of your friends says, why don't you sell the business and have some fun? And I actually probably look at what you're doing and I think you're probably having fun with what you're doing right now.
Yep.
How much more fun could you have? Yeah. I mean, making a difference, being successful.
Where do you get your inspiration from, Matt?
I used to follow Richard Branson and Donald Trump back when I was younger. They were the two mainstream entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
So I would always watch The Apprentice and The Rebel Billionaire, shows
and
like that.
What did you learn from them? Anything that sort of stands out that really influenced you or inspired you?
Just the ability to – I saw them as – they represented a sense of freedom. So they were free, like they could do what they want. And I guess it's really hard to explain, but that's kind of, I guess, what I saw.
Yeah. Do you do much reading?
No, I don't.
So where do you get your information? On social media? I'm guessing.
Social media is massive. I do read the papers and things like that. So, I mean, it's just...
Are you good with the numbers? Do you like the numbers side of your business?
That is my thing.
Oh, you're so powerful.
There we go. Yeah. I was trying to find his thing.
Yeah.
So you're really good with the numbers.
I literally am always I sit on Xero, which is my accounting software. I sit on Fleetmatics, which is my operations software. And I just run the business.
Okay. Because the numbers tell the story, don't they?
They do.
In a business. And that's that, your secret to success, run a business like a business.
Absolutely.
The numbers are critical.
So which part of your business aren't you so good at?
Oh, there's heaps.
Yeah, what? Give me one bit. Think of one part of your business that you either don't like.
I believe that you should pay certain experts to do certain things.
I know,
so I pay a bookkeeper to do that sort of stuff because I just can't do it.
Yeah.
When I was starting out, I just didn't do it.
Yeah.
And I had issues with tax and things like that, which is now all sorted because I learned my lesson the hard way.
Yeah,
good. And I really think that if you have a business, get a bookkeeper, a good one, and a good accountant. And once you have those two things in place, that's when things start to go well.
Your social media, you said you use that a lot for your advertising.
It's
do you
free.
Do that?
If you're, again, listen to this, it's free. It takes 10 minutes in the morning to post a picture on Instagram and like a few photos. And that also, then you can share that same picture on Facebook. So for 10 minutes every day, get on Instagram, post a photo, share it to Facebook. Just use social media because it's free. It engages with your clients. And I can't speak highly enough of it.
So what sort of clients would you talk about engaging with them?
Yep.
So are you talking about your residential clients? So are they
No.
You're talking about commercial.
But it depends on your business.
Right.
Everyone's different. There's a lot of companies out there that target young women, and they are very successful. There's so many of them, actually. There's Frank, there's Skinny Me Tea, there's so many like little products that target young women, and they seem to be successful. I don't know whether they are, but they appear to be.
Oh, there's perception, very important.
But for me, my target audience on social media is other businesses, like builders, landscapers, because a lot of these guys have these accounts for their businesses. And they follow us and they watch what we're doing. They get, you know, we share photos of our jobs and they like to keep up to date with what's going on in their industry, so they can look at our account and see what other landscapers and tilers are doing and just to check up with the latest trends, because we are working on some top-notch projects.
But that's an absolute key to success on social media, is knowing what your clients need from you. So in your case, they are looking to you to make them the expert in their area. You're educating them, you're inspiring them, and you're showing them so that they can show their clients the opportunities that they can give to them. So working that niche out on your social media, it's not only, you know, who's my target market and when are they reading it?
No.
You've actually worked out the gold that you're making your clients look
you
good.
You must understand your client, and also you must have a value for your client. So for me, I understand the value from an early stage in business. I actually understood the value of a client. So I understood that the value of a trade client was much more significant in the long run than a one-off residential client. So therefore, for me, my marketing, because I'm not a huge corporation, I don't have millions of dollars to spend on marketing. I've a very small amount of money to spend on marketing. And I want to make sure that money that I do have gets used as at maximum efficiency as possible. So I target my marketing towards trade clients, because for me, that's the value for me.
And
so
you do it well.
How clear. It's so clear for him, isn't it? I think that's the key message about having that clarity, understanding who your customer is and what makes them tick.
Absolutely.
I like that very much. Mm. Danielle Story, you've been a very successful businesswoman, business person. It's not gender related, and you continue to be. Which parts of your business do you love doing, and which parts don't you like doing?
I love the relationship building. Anything to do with relationship building with suppliers, with clients, with people. I'm a conduit and a connector. So if somebody comes to me and says, hey, do you know somebody that does this? It's my great pleasure to be able to mine my database, which is hugely extensive, and on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. Mm. I'm not on Snapchat. That's the only thing I haven't done.
Neither I have Snapchat. I've deleted it.
My kids are on Snapchat. But anything to do with the relationship building and serving people to give them what they want, I love that.
Which bit don't you like?
Filing. You know, the actual physically filing stuff. Yeah. And I'm really that whole, I've got to do that invoice. And so I outsource that. I outsource that to my absolutely amazing business partner, husband, guru of invoicing. I learned really early on I needed to put a system in place for making sure that my invoices went out when they should, because I'd mean to do it, but I'd be so busy getting caught up in the relationship stuff and I didn't make enough time.
I actually love invoicing.
There you go.
I love the concept of invoicing, and I adore getting paid.
Yeah, but it's the process.
It's the administrative process.
Yeah, okay.
You know, if you ask the people in my office, why is that bit of paper sitting there? 99% of the time it's because Danielle hasn't filed it in the folder.
Yeah.
So I'm getting better at it.
How long did it take you to figure that out though?
Well, you know, I'm 46. I've been in business for myself since I was 16 years old on and off. So, yeah, I'm tipping, is that 30 years?
Yeah, but you know.
No, about 20 years.
Because you're automatically, it's like the moth to the light. You're always attracted to the stuff you like to do and you tend to do that first. Absolutely. Oh, this is the fun stuff. Yeah. And you're right, I'll do that later, But one of the keys to success, I think, is figuring that stuff out as soon as you possibly can.
Yeah.
To go, you know what, I don't like doing this and I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
So outsource it or put a system in place, and you're always a big fan of systems.
I am.
Put a system in place to counteract that.
And and then reward yourself for systems doing it. Are, yeah. Systems are key.
And then reward. Yeah. I like that. Did you hear that, Matt? To reward yourself for doing it.
Mm.
So is that rewarding yourself for doing something you don't like?
Absolutely.
And how do you do that?
Sometimes it's just a happy dance. You should see my happy dance. It's pretty cool. When I clear something up, other times it might be going and getting a coffee, you know, a bought coffee rather than a coffee from the kitchen.
Yeah.
Some other times it might be, you know, skiding off a little bit earlier in the day and going shoe shopping. Whatever it is, it's just if I clear up something that I know I'm resisting, I absolutely celebrate it because it's in the resistance that I get bogged down.
That's wonderful. We'd like to thank our guest today. We know we've unlocked some keys to success today. Danielle Story, always a delight to have you. And thank you for bringing in your Taking Care of Business cucumbers and rhubarb. We've been giving those to guests as they leave and the look on their faces has been amusing. So we've been having some fun doing that. Matt Nash, wish you all the very best. Prestige Surfaces. Thank you for being here on Taking Care of Business. Also, I'd like to thank Jess Jones and our lady that is Dress for Success, Maureen Robbins from Dress for Success. Here is Roxette to see us into the weekend. And we look forward to your company next Friday at 11 a.m. In the meantime, listen to our podcasts on rwpfm.com.au and keep taking care of your business.